Well, good morning, everyone, and it is a blessing to be able to come together in this way. It's always unfortunate when we've got to cancel church. I don't ever like cancelling church, but with the nature of the weather today, we're concerned for people's safety. I did speak to Peter Gunther last night, a pastor in Canada, who was laughing at the fact that we cancelled our service because there was a bit of snow on the ground when they're making their way to church with quite a lot of snow on the ground. But it's quite different in the UK. I know the friends of ours in Chicago, Jerry and Rhonda and the Samson family, cope with snow like this all the time. But here in the UK, we do struggle when it comes to a bit of snow on the ground. Just a few announcements before we come to the Word, just to let you know that there's no mother and toddler group tomorrow morning. There's no mother and toddler group tomorrow, but normal services will resume on Tuesday night with our men's meeting. Wednesday night Bible study, we'll continue looking at the second chapter of Daniel. On Thursday, it'll be Bible school with Brother Andrew, continuing looking at 2 Kings. Friday night, we'll have our normal youth ministries, Compass Club, Drama, Blast, from 5:30 to 8:30. Saturday, then, we have our SDHS conference, the South Wales conference for SDHS, on Saturday, and that will start at 10:30, two sessions there. And then on Sunday, we have Mother's Day. So we're looking forward to seeing everybody on Sunday, and all the mums again will receive a special gift. So with that said, we'll make a start this morning and come to the Word of God. I just want to share a quick passage of scripture as by way of introduction. It simply says this in Matthew 18:20, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." And it is a blessing to be able to come together this way, to be able to have church and to be able to share the Word of God using the medium of social media. So I just want to welcome all those who are joining us at this time and just pray that the Lord will bless this time together. Let's just ask the Lord's blessing on our time together this morning. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for this time together. We thank you for the privilege we have to come around your Word. And Father, we just pray that as we gather together in this way today, that you would speak to our hearts. Father, we recognize the fact that we are a blessed people. We recognize the fact that because we've been saved by your amazing grace, because of the love that sent Christ to Calvary, we do indeed have reason to rejoice today. And Father, I just pray that as we gather together around your Word, Lord, in our homes or wherever we may be watching, that we would feel you speak to our hearts, that you would give us the encouragement that we need, that you would give us the help that we need. And Father, I know that there are many people within our church and other believers around the world who are struggling and suffering and hurting, and I just pray that you would lend a touch to each and every one today. Father, we just want to say today that we love you and we praise you, and if there's somebody watching today who has yet to trust Christ as their personal Saviour, may today be the day that they come to know the Lord. Father, we just ask these things in Christ's most wonderful name. Amen. Amen. Snow. What a blessing snow is. It always interests me. I've said to the church many times when it comes to snow, why people go out and panic buy bread and milk. Why don't they think of something more substantial to panic buy? Why don't they actually panic buy an entire meal? I loved, I think it was Katie put a post up on Facebook saying that she doesn't panic buy bread and milk, but it's like crisps and chocolate. And now that's the kind of panic buying you want. And it's amazing, you know, all my wife has done since it's been snowing is just look out of the window for the last 3 days. I think it's about time we let it in, to be honest with you. But it is that the snow causes a problem here in the UK. It's amazing that the place just absolutely shuts down. As I said earlier, I spoke with Peter and Dana Gunther last night from the States, and they're hysterical to the fact that the snow causes us so much problem in the UK. But we can learn from it. And the Bible has a lot to say about snow. First of all, we need to understand that each flake is unique. We are told, scientists tell us, that no two flakes are the same. Basically what happens is that in the cloud there is water vapour. Now water vapour freezes. as they freeze and form crystals about the size of a small piece of dust. These crystals, as they fall, they form together and they form snowflakes. That's why some snowflakes are bigger than others, and that's why no two snowflakes are the same. Job 38:22 says, "Hast thou entered into the treasures of the snow, or hast thou seen the treasures of the hail?" That may sound like a weird thing to say, to talk about the treasures of the snow, but how the Bible is proved over and over and over again. When you look at a snowflake under a microscope, you'll see that it looks exactly like a jewel, and you'll see that each one is unique, each one is precious. Genesis 1:27 says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them." Whilst we are made in God's image, each one of us is unique. Now, you may have your mum's look. You may have your dad's looks. You may have some good points from each of your parents. You may have some of their bad points. But you are, as Psalm 139 tells us, fearfully and wonderfully made. Each one of us is unique. In church, we have two sets of twins. And one of those twins, they are identical. I can't tell them apart. I really struggle, especially from a distance, to tell them apart. But those who are closest to them, and especially mum and dad, and they know exactly which one is which. So even identical twins are unique. We are all unique, and we are all fearfully and wonderfully made. And when you think of the human body, whenever I've gone into a physio department, and I've had plenty of physio in the past few years, or sometimes you go into a hospital or a clinic and you'll see a skeleton maybe in the corner, or you'll see a diagram of the human body and you see the skeleton and the muscles and the fibres and the nerves, and you just see how intricate the body is and how amazing the body is, and it just blows your mind. And it's amazing to know that even though each one of us is unique and each one of us is fearfully and wonderfully made, God deals with us individually. He cares about the one. And it's amazing when you read through the Gospels that you see the Lord ministering to that one person. You see the Lord ministering to Nicodemus. You see the Lord ministering to Zacchaeus. You see the Lord ministering to the blind man, to the harlot, to the lame man who had no one to place him in the pool. And it's a joy to know that we can have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, that he cares about the one. I've heard many preachers say over the years that if you were the only person in the world, that Christ would have still gone to the cross for you. And that's true. God cares about you. For God so loved the world, but that world individually includes you. But God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We are unique. We have that personal relationship with the Lord. And just as your personality is different and your temperament is different and your looks are different to everyone else, so is God's will for your life. God's will for your life is different to what God's will is for your spouse's life, what God's will is for your children's lives, what God's will is for your parents' lives, what God's will is for the person sat next to you in church. Each will of God is different for us individually. But do you know what God's will is for your life? Do you know what it is that he wants you to do? If you don't, then find out and do it. If you do, then we just need to do God's will. Each snowflake is individual. Each snowflake is unique. And so each person is individual. And each person is unique. The other thing we notice about snow is that it is whiter than white. Snow is mentioned 24 times in the Bible. And 9 times is explaining how white something is. On 3 occasions we are told that leprosy is described as white as snow. When Moses at the burning bush placed his hand into his garment, we are told that he pulled out and it was leprous as white as snow. Miriam had leprosy as white as snow. Gehazi's leprosy was described as white as snow. But then we are also told the angel at the tomb was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. We are told that Christ had hair white like wool, as white as snow in Revelation 1:14. At the Transfiguration, Mark 9:43, it says that his raiment became shining, exceeding white as snow, so as no fuller on earth could white them. Daniel also tells us when he saw a vision of Christ in Daniel 7:9, I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. You know the one thing I love, first thing in the morning, when you wake up and the snow has just fallen through the night, and it's so bright. It's amazing how clean it looks, how crystal clear it looks, and it's amazing. But even when you look through the window in the dark and you see the lights glistening off the snow, it's amazing how white it is. Ray Comfort, who's from New Zealand, was talking about how white the fleece of a sheep is, and he couldn't believe it one day when he saw that sheep in a field of snow, and how dark that sheep suddenly was compared to the whiteness of the snow. The sheep suddenly looked dirty. It didn't look as white as it was without comparison to the snow. And I think we would all agree that snow is whiter than white. Now, probably the first verse that sprang to your mind concerning snow in the scripture was probably Isaiah 1:18. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be crimson, they shall be as wool. It's amazing to think that no matter what we've done, Christ's death upon the cross was enough to cleanse even the vilest of sinners. His blood will always be enough. When we come to him in faith, believing, and his blood is applied to our lives, and even the vilest sins that we've committed can be washed as white as snow. How many of you, and this is the problem I have today now, is I'm not actually going to be able to see how many of you put your hands up, but then maybe that'll be easier for you to actually put your hand up now when no one's looking. But how many of you like gardening? You know from our church that I really dislike gardening. And, you know, sometimes, especially now this time of year, you've still got some of the old plants and what have you from last year. You've still got some of the trees whose leaves haven't come through yet, and sometimes at this time of year the garden just looks a mess. But guess what? Yesterday I looked out at my garden, I thought, that garden looks lovely. Why? Because the snow had covered everything. And guess what? I didn't have to worry about it. The garden was effectively clean. But the thing is, the general mess was still underneath the snow. The general mess, even though it looked clean and even though it looked bright, the mess of the garden was still underneath the snow. And that's the thing, when we've been forgiven, when it says that our sins will be as white as snow, will be washed as white as snow, our old sinful condition is still there. We've been covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we've been covered and we are whiter than snow in his eyes. But the mess is still underneath. The mess is still there. It's amazing to know that the Bible says that the Lord chooses to remember our sins no more. You know, we've been forgiven. The Lord loved us so much that he died upon the cross for us, and we've been forgiven. But that old sin nature is still there. And we just need to understand the importance of our testimony. I know we can't remain whiter than white, but we have a responsibility to try and maintain our testimony to a world that is watching. And that's the other thing we notice about snow. Not only is it unique and not only is it whiter than white, snow gets dirty. And snow gets dirty really quick. When it first falls, it looks absolutely gorgeous. When it first falls, it just makes everything look stunning. It was frustrating. I looked out of the window on the first morning it snowed, and the street just looked gorgeous. And then some child comes walking through the street and messes up the snow. And it looks messy. And it doesn't take long before it gets dirty. And then the gritters go out. And you know that rock salt that they use, that purpley-orangey looking rock salt, just makes the snow look dirty and messy, and it becomes slushy and it becomes dirty. And think about it. Man gets involved. Man walks on the snow and messes it up. Man grits the street and messes it up. I know those who don't particularly want to go to work would rather than not grit so they can have an excuse to stay home. But that grit makes the snow look so dirty. And that's the thing about our lives as well. It's like, and you can look at this in two ways. It's like man trying to get to God on their terms, with their effort. Isaiah 64 tells us that our righteousnesses are like filthy rags. That means our good deeds, our goodness is like filthy rags. There is no way that we can get to God on our terms. There's nothing that we can do that is good enough to earn favor with God. We can't get to him on our own. We can't be good enough to be accepted by God. It is a gift that he gives to us that we have to accept. The other thing I see whilst looking at the dirty snow is the problem of sin. Sin is still a problem. Sin is mentioned in 389 verses of the scripture. Sin is what put Adam and Eve out of the garden. Sin is what put Christ upon the cross. And even though the payment for sin has been made, the presence of sin is still here today. And whilst we as God's children confess our sin, 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Whilst we confess our sins, we restore that fellowship with God. We restore that walk, if you like, with the Lord. But it doesn't change the fact that we are still surrounded by sin every single day. And it's something we have to cope with. We're surrounded by people at work who maybe tell vile jokes, who maybe use bad language. Sometimes it seems as if people go out of their way to make us blush or to try and offend us when they know that we love the Lord. TV is getting worse and worse. And TV affects our children at younger ages. Access to the internet, and whilst the internet can be used for many good causes and can be used as a great tool, it can also pose a lot of problems and a lot of issues. And what I'm trying to say is this, is we are surrounded by sin every day. But we can find protection. My brother-in-law always says that there's no such thing as bad weather if you have the right clothing. Eve stayed up at her cousin's house on Thursday night, and I went up to get her then on Friday, and we walked up through the snow, and I was just amazed to see how many people were wrongly dressed. Now, Eve wasn't exactly dressed right for the snow, so Sam had to give her some interesting clothing to wear so she'd be warm when she came home. But even when we were walking back from the house, we could see people in trainers, and people were just completely underdressed for the snow, and they looked freezing. I even saw somebody walking in the snow in pajamas and a dressing gown. That is, in my opinion, is a little bit underdressed for the snow. But here's the thing, when people were underdressed, they looked freezing cold. If you have the right clothing, if you have the right gear, then it is a massive help. Proverbs 31:21 says, she is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. It's the same with the slush of sin. Too many Christians are ill-dressed. They are underprepared for the weather. What happens when you go out in the snow? And again, it's amazing with social media today what you can see. I've seen a lot of our church members sledging in the snow and performing stunts in the snow. And I know one of them is watching this morning. So, Amanda, I hope your back is feeling a little bit better. But when we're underdressed for the snow, it can be miserable. It can be hard work. It's hard to cope. And as Christians, we need to be prepared. We need to be dressed correctly. And that's why God has provided us with the right clothing. In the snow, you need a good hat. Quite a few people, when I made the announcement online last night that our services were cancelled this morning, quite a few people made comment about the hat that I wore. But guess what? It kept me warm. It kept my head warm. It kept my ears warm. You need a good hat. And as believers, we have the right headgear. Ephesians talks about the helmet of salvation. We need something to protect our head, to protect our minds. Be careful, little ears, what you hear, little eyes, what you see. We need something that protects the mind. And the helmet of salvation protects what goes in, what protects our thought process. You need good gloves. There's nothing worse than having cold hands. I know where my father-in-law struggles with white finger, and his hands can be painful, and sometimes he really struggles and he cannot warm the tips of his fingers up. And when you go out into the cold, if you've got the wrong gloves on, your hands are freezing and it's miserable. It's hard work. And you know, when I think of that, about having good gloves, we need to warm up our hands. We need to have the right kind of prayer life. We need our right clothing. When Paul talks about the armour of God, he says, above all, take in prayer. Praying with all supplication. So we need good gloves. We need good footwear. Like I said, people who go out in the snow wearing trainers and slippers and all kinds of nonsense find themselves struggling in the snow. I remember a few years ago, one of our deacons, John Thomas, gave me these. They were like almost like spring looking things to go on your shoes, but they were ice grips. And when we got to the church, it was really icy coming across the bridge to the church, and it was really slippery, and John let me borrow these ice grips, and they were brilliant. You could literally run in the ice. There was no thought of slipping or falling. And it was just, you know, the importance of having good footwear in weather like this. And you need good boots, even as a Christian. We talk again, Paul talks about having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And we need good footwear as believers, as Christians. We need to stand. A few times in Ephesians 6, Paul says, stand. Having done all to stand, stand. I think it's about six times he says, stand. And what helps us as believers to stand is having the right footwear. We need good clothing. And it's amazing that just as God provided the skins, as it were, for Adam and Eve, so he provides the clothing to protect us from sin. And if you need those things to go over your shoes, Alicia's just told me that they are Yak Tracks, so you can find them at all good retailers. And if Yak Tracks are watching this, then you can post them to me free of charge, and that'll be lovely. But Romans 13:14 says, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. And I'm thankful that God has provided us with the right clothing to be able to sustain ourselves in this Christian walk. So we've seen that snow is unique. We've seen that snow is whiter than white. We've seen that snow dirties easily. But did you know that on its own, snow doesn't do much? When you think about it, one snowflake, what damage does that cause? I think even the UK could cope with just one snowflake. If you catch one snowflake in the palm of your hand, you'll see that it melts easily. But when a few of these snowflakes get together, they start to achieve quite a great deal. And here's the thing, a lot of Christians think that they can do things on their own. Yes, you might be saying, well, hang on, earlier on you said that we were unique, we were individual, and that's right. We are unique, but we're still part of the body of Christ. We still each have a role to play. 1 Corinthians 12:12 talks about the body of the Christ. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honourable, upon these we bestow more abundant honour. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honour to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honoured, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. One snowflake on its own can do very little. But when all of those snowflakes get together, they can do great things. Some Christians struggle because they try and go it alone. Now, some people think that there is no need for the church. And I understand that while today this is slightly different because of services being cancelled, but we do need to remember that we can achieve great things together. Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Exhorting one another. We should leave church challenged. We should leave church equipped. We should leave church encouraged. And we can do far more together as a body of Christ. A problem shared is a problem halved. Maybe a secular saying, but it's a biblical principle. Galatians 6:2, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. We should pray for one another. We should help one another. We should encourage one another. We should exhort one another. We should work together as a body. We're far more of a challenge together when we are working together than when we're fractured and split on our own. You know, the devil is referred to as a roaring lion, walketh about the earth, seeking whom he may devour. And a lion will always isolate somebody from the herd. A lion will always go after the weakest member of the herd. A lion will never attack the strongest animal in the centre of the herd. He'll always go for the ones on the outskirts, the ones on their own, the ones who are the weakest. We could do more as a part of the body that God has placed us together in. I love that, you know, when we have we deliver the Christmas leaflets, or when we'll be delivering the Easter leaflets now next week, and how the church comes together, and how, you know, in one day we can achieve so much. You know, we are able to deliver like 10,000 leaflets in one day because the whole church comes together as a group. Now you think about it, if one person were to deliver all of those leaflets, how long it would take. It's amazing, isn't it, that it takes something like weather like this to actually bring the community back together again. It's weather like this that you see people coming together to shovel the snow out of the way. It's weather like this that causes us to knock on our neighbour's door to make sure they're okay, to make sure that, you know, they've got enough supplies. It's weather like this that actually brings the neighbourhood together as the neighbourhood used to act years ago. And I think it's, you know, the same with the church. We ought to come together. We ought to work as a unit. The Bible talks about endeavouring to keep that unity. One snowflake is no match for the palm of our hand, but a blizzard is devastating. It's interesting that out the front of our street, because of the nature of the snow and the way in which the wind was blowing, halfway up the street there is not a single bit of snow on the road. But yet, down the other half of the street, where the wind has blown all of those snowflakes together, it's created almost a 3-foot drift. One snowflake on its own is nothing. But when all of that snow gets together, it can cause some issues. And the world is no match for us in the palm of his hand. We can be a blizzard covering this land with the gospel if we work together, if we are united as a body of believers. God wants us to show the love that he has for this world. We have a commission to preach the gospel to the lost. But we also have a duty to one another, to encourage one another, to pray for one another, to help one another, to bear one another's burdens. That's what the church is about. You know, the world looks at the church today and they see an old building, maybe full of old people that has, you know, no relevance in the world today. But that's not the church that Christ died for. The church that Christ died for is meant to be a hospital for weary saints. It's meant to be a school to teach the saints of God the word of God. It's meant to be a barracks, as it were, to train the soldiers of God to go out onto the battlefield to preach the gospel of God. And it's meant to be almost like a hostel, as it were, to bring the sin-sick, weary of the world into the confines of that building to help them and to point them to the one that they need to grant them the greatest of help. God wants us to show the world how much love he has for them. And he wants us to be a light in a dark and desperate world. So snow is unique. Snow is whiter than white. Snow gets dirty and snow on its own doesn't do much. And then finally, if you've noticed, snow seems to drain all sound. The thing I love the most, you know, when it first snows and you go out first thing in the morning before anybody else is up, is that it's so quiet. It's almost as if the snow seems to just drain all the noise out of the world. It's almost as if you are the only person in the world. And now I know what you're thinking, you say, well, hang on a minute now, you've just said we all need to be together and now you're talking about being alone again. Yes, we are to work together, we are to worship together as a body, but there are times that we need to be alone with the Lord. Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen, I will be exalted in the earth. Just as snow in this country brings us to a complete and utter standstill, there are times when we need to be still before the Lord. There are times when we need to be brought, as it were, to a complete and utter standstill. There are times when it just needs to be you and him. There are many times in the Lord's ministry where he made sure he spent time alone with his Father. After his ministry in Capernaum, he went to the mountain first thing in the morning alone to pray. Mark 1:35. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. After the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000, if you remember, he sent his disciples across the Sea of Galilee and he went to a mountain alone to pray. Matthew 14:23. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray, and when the evening was come, he was there alone. When he was at the point of death, when he was at his, if you like, lowest, he left his closest disciples and went aside to pray. Matthew 26:36, then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto his disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. This tells us that we need time alone with our Heavenly Father. We need time alone with our Father as early as possible. We need time alone with our Father after a great success. We need time alone with our Father at our darkest hour. Basically, Paul was right. He said we need to pray without ceasing. But it's more than just prayer. It's spending time alone with the Lord. I think it's safe to say that the snow slows us down. We can't go out, or if we do, we can't drive very far. And basically, the snow tells us to be still. And from a biblical point of view, we are told to be still and know that he is God. Spend quality time with him, not just a quick 5 minutes and rush into the rest of the day, or a quick 5 minutes before you drop off to sleep. Be still and know that I am God. If you've never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal saviour, we saw earlier in one of the verses earlier that even though your sins be as scarlet, they can be as white as snow. Christ died upon the cross for you. Christ died for you individually. You are unique. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. And Christ died for you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Maybe the Lord has spoken to your heart this morning. Maybe you recognize the fact that if you were to die right now, today, that you're not sure where you'd spend eternity. There's one of two places to spend eternity after death, and that's heaven or hell. But God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So if you've never trusted Christ as your Saviour, maybe today, in the quietness of today, you would simply ask the Lord to come into your heart and into your life. That you would confess your sins to him, repent, and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, and thou shalt be saved. For the believer, when it first snows, we're all excited. It's like an adventure. Ooh, you know, you're foaming at that. Have you got enough bread? Have you got enough milk? Oh, it's snowing. Look how lovely it is. But that excitement soon wears off. Suddenly you realize you don't like milk sandwiches that much. Suddenly you realize that the snow is not as fun as you thought it was. I wonder if that describes your walk with the Lord. Has your excitement worn off? Then we can learn a lot from the snow. Remember that you are unique, that God has a purpose for you. Remember that snow is whiter than white, that God has saved you from sin, that God has made you whiter than white. And realize the importance of our testimony. Snow does get dirty. We are in the world, but we are not of the world. That's what we looked at last Sunday. We understand the fact that we are surrounded by sin on a daily basis. But we don't have to let that sin affect us. We don't have to let that sin dirty us. And we need to remember that even though God has made us whiter than white, we have a responsibility then to project our testimony, as it were, to a lost and dying world. On its own, snow doesn't do much. Individually, perhaps we couldn't achieve as much as we could as a church together. I understand that when we're with God, we're in the majority anyway. If God be for us, who can be against us? Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. But the purpose of the church is for us to come together. It's such a blessing to see the church coming together today in this way. Even though we can't be together in our building, we are still able to be together through the avenue of social media. And I'm thankful that we are part of such a blessed church. I'm thankful for the fact that God has saved us for a purpose. On its own, snow doesn't do much. But together, it does a lot. We might not be able to do much on our own, but as a church together, we can achieve great things for the Lord. Snow drains sound from all around it. Do we need to spend time with the Lord today? Be still and know that I am God. I wonder where the Lord finds you this morning. What is you in need this morning? You know, as we sit in the quietness of our homes, and I know there's a few church services that are cancelled today, and I know that people are sat in the house just waiting for this weather to be passed so we can start with our normal routine of life. But maybe the Lord has brought this weather for such a time as this, so that we can just sit back, spend time with him, and recognise what his purpose is for our lives. Where does the Lord find you this morning, and what is it that he needs you to do, and what is it that you need from him today? I am just again thankful that we can come together in this way. It's just a blessing to know that God has saved us, and that God can use us, and he alone receives all the glory, the honour and the praise. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for this time together today. We thank you for all that you've done for us. And Father, we just pray that you would continue to bless us, Lord. I pray you'd continue to speak to our hearts. And again, if there's one who has watched this morning or who may watch this in the future, Lord, who have yet to trust Christ as their Saviour, may something said today, may your word not return void, may it touch their hearts, Lord, and they may come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that you would speak to our hearts as your children, Lord, and maybe, Father, there's somebody here today who's had a specific need. Maybe there's somebody here this morning, Lord, who is burdened with something or who has hurt about something. And I just pray, Lord, that they would find the touch that they need today from you. And may the Holy Spirit speak to their hearts, Lord, in such a clear way. And Father, I just thank you again for all that you do for us. And Lord, I just pray that your hand of blessing would remain upon us, Lord. And we just ask these things in Christ's most precious, perfect and wonderful name. Amen. Amen. Well, it has been a joy to get together this morning in this way. And I just pray that you would, well, Rick is just asking where the offering is. So Rick Owens is going to take up the offering for us this morning. And that'll be an absolute blessing. Thank you, Rick, for doing that. And it has been a joy to gather together in this way. We're not going to close in a hymn because I don't think you'd appreciate that. But we will take up a survey next week just to see how many of you watched the sermon this morning in your pyjamas. Every blessing. God bless.